been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. Welcome to The Call. It's a Purple Friday preview. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, he's not joining me via FaceTime or Skype. We're going old school because we're hoping for maybe an old-time Ravens defense. But we're talking via phone. Josh, what's going on, man?
Phone, man. It feels like a dinosaur now or slow with this technology.
I know. An old coworker called me a week ago, and I texted a friend of mine. I'm like, how crazy is this person? He uses his phone as a phone. God, that's so weird.
I know. It actually dials out. Didn't even know it had that function.
I know. So here we are, Ravens, Seahawks. The game has been flexed from primetime to a 1 o'clock start. But somebody who may not be starting, let's talk about it, Matt Schaub. He's missed the last 2 days of practice. They're saying he's a little banged up because he's an older guy. He's got some chest issues. I still think it's a concussion that we're talking about, but they're not saying that. What do we do here? Do you see Matt Schaub starting, or are we going to get the backup to the backup?
We're getting Shane Falco in here, man.
Shane Falco.
Everybody, we got this. I actually heard Jimmy Clausen and your boy Renner, man.
Renner might be coming. Yeah, he's back on the practice squad.
He's back. So yeah, if Clausen gets hurt, then we're down to Renner. So but yeah, we're going to see Clausen, I think, starting this game. If Schaub even plays, he should just retire. He should just hang it up. Goodbye. 4 games left. He ain't going to last. I mean, he's going to get beat up. You got to play the Seattle defense, the Chiefs defense, the Steelers defense, and the Bengals defense. No, it's not happening. No, you're going to see Clausen starting. If Clausen doesn't start, I'll be shocked.
And can you fill us in a little bit about this Jimmy Clausen guy? I know he came from the Bears. He worked with Tressman in the past. What's the story on this guy?
Well, I think he came from the University of Tennessee, believe it or not. I've seen him play a few times. He's been the journeyman backup. I remember seeing him on the Bears a little bit. He's been on some other teams I can't recall, but solid. I mean, what I've seen, I have to go back and watch game film to understand his tendencies, but he's a backup. I mean, obviously he's not starting in NFL for a reason. So, I mean, he's backup, and that's what you're going to get. I just hope there's no ill-advised pick sixes. Just make sure you check your reads and get the ball to our receivers, but I'm excited to see what he brings.
Yeah, and this is kind of interesting. The Baltimore Sun put out an article about whether or not Matt Schaub will be playing. He hasn't practiced, so, I mean, that is kind of a sign right there. But this new guy, Jimmy Clausen, he's going to be this is the sixth different quarterback in NFL history to start against the same team in the same season for two different organizations. So he played with the Bears up against the Seahawks in that 26-0 loss by the Bears. And now there's potential of him starting up against the Seahawks again for the Ravens. When he was with Chicago, it said he made 9 of 17 passes for 63 yards. Not the greatest numbers. Doesn't make me feel the greatest with this Ravens team and this guy.
No, not at all. I mean, but they're solid. I mean, I like to see the turnovers. I like to see what he does under pressure. Because he's going to get pressure. This is going to be an elite defense we're facing. And the LOB Legion of Boom is coming to Baltimore. And with our receivers, I'm very interested to see how we do against Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, and the gang, Earl Thomas. They're going to wreak havoc, man. I mean, these guys are all pro. Very, very good. I mean, Cam Chancellor held out for a reason. He came back, and pretty much as soon as he made an impact, he was, like, all over the field. Richard Sherman, he's a lockdown corner, just like Revis, any of those top guys. And Jimmy Smith should be taking notes because LOB is going to be in Baltimore, and they're going to be doing it right. it's going to be interesting, man, because the way our offense is and moving the ball against us, it would be a miracle if we even get 10 on the board, to be honest with you.
It's going to be rough because let's think about this. Without Joe Flacco, without Matt Schaub, also the Ravens potentially could be without Marlon Brown. Not really a big loss there. Crockett Gilmore, that's a pretty big loss. Eugene Monroe, who has spent more time on the sidelines than the actual field this year. None of those guys have practiced this week at all. Chris Canty, Darryl Smith, also not practicing.
Brandon Williams,
he returned to practice, I think, today, along with Rick Wagner. So there's a chance we see those two guys. And the only other piece of good news, Max Williams wasn't wearing a non-contact jersey. So there's a chance we might see some more Max Williams on the field this week. So with the good comes the bad. But here we go. Crockett Gilmore, Marlon Brown. We know Nick Boyle, because he's an idiot, won't be playing. This is like not even practice squad guys. This is preseason guys who we don't know if they're going to make it or not playing. This is the most the unluckiest Ravens team, and it's kind of put together. It's 80 pieces for a 100-piece puzzle. You don't know what you're getting, who's going where, and what's going on.
No, man, and it's like week to week. It's like who's going to be starting, who's going to be injured. It's kind of like we're used to it now. We're just excited to see what could go wrong. I mean, we've had so many blunders at the end of games. We've had sneak bitten by bad calls, sneak bitten by injury, sneak bitten by just ill-timed stupid calls and throws and picks. And it's just, you just can't wait to see what's going to happen. And you kind of like, at this point, you trend. It's like, I don't even think with the opponents we have lined up, we'll still probably end up losing by 4 or 5 points because it's just how the season is gone. And I think we're going to put up a fight against Seattle, and especially on the, because they're hot right now. There's no one of the hotter teams in the NFL than the Seahawks, and they're trudging to the playoffs. They want to get back to a third straight Super Bowl. Sure, it wasn't a fluke last year, and it's sucky because I like to see beast mode in this matchup, man. I love Marshawn, how he runs, how he plays, how he carries himself, and there is a new addition to the Seahawks, and it's by way of Thomas Rawls, and Rawls is the understudy of Marshawn, and pretty much he's been doing damage. Russell Wilson's playing some hot football, and the receivers are just all fire and we already know what their defense is. So this is a complete team, and they're playing for a playoff spot because the Cardinals are, they're hot as well, and they're leaving the division respectively and going for a top seed. So it's definitely going to be a battle, and it just sucks that we didn't have a great season this year, so we didn't keep this one ascending in football, but it's going to be going nonetheless, man.
It'll be an interesting one. I'll say that much at least. There's a lot of injuries on the offense. This is going to be an offense we don't really know. Let's switch the sides here, talk about the defense a little bit. Defense looked pretty strong last week. Are they going to have a good game like last week, or are the Seahawks going to ruin the party here in Baltimore?
Half and half. Part of me wants to say the defense is going to continue to go upwards because they've been gelling as of late,
right,
especially with all the injuries. But and they've been impressing. But I really think the Seahawks have firepower and they're probably going to bring it. So we really have to. This is going to be the biggest test of the year to see. You know, it's and I hate to keep on this trend, but we have 4 games left. I really love to see if win or lose all 16 games by 8 points or less. That would be just ridiculous, and I really hope that they can keep it close and entertaining. And I really don't want to sit there and say, losing by 20 points. I'm like, well, there it goes. And the wagons, wheels just fell off. But the way this team is fighting, bro, I don't foresee anything happening like that. I think this team is going to be fighting till the end, as they always do. We have, 19 people on IR 18, and we lost everybody, we already know. But this team is still fighting, man. I mean, again, we're not comparing years here, but look what happened. I mean, we went on Super Bowl run and we lost Webb and Ray Lewis in the same game that year. And it's just how the thing goes. I mean, we've lost Pitta and we've won games. We've lost other players and won. So I think it can still happen. But right now, I mean, I read this week, and I don't know if you've seen this, man, but it's very comical. Someone put out the 12 scenarios that the Ravens can make the playoffs at 8-8 or 7-9 because they could lose one of these games. But they would have to, if there's if there's anything to fun talk about, especially for, because they're not mathematically alive yet, they're pretty much like holding on by like the dimmest of hopes here, man.
Right.
But if any loss, they would have to only lose this game on Sunday because it's an NFC opponent. That way they would have to win the next three games out versus the AFC. Two of them are divisional, so, and Chiefs, Steelers, and Bengals. So they could get in 7-9, but again, with the way the injuries have gone and the way the games have gone, I mean, we could have had two or three more wins under our belt, maybe four, and we'd already be in the playoffs right now in discussion. But we've already talked about on the show, man. Wouldn't you agree that I'd rather not be in the playoffs due to the injuries? Because imagine if we were, instead of 4-8, we were 8-4 and have all these injuries. It would be a totally different feeling.
Oh, yeah, it would be. And as much as I want to think that December football is some of the best stuff to watch and it's so much fun, but I, if we got that far and then all these injuries piled up towards the end, I mean, I think that would even be a bigger heartbreak. And it would be, we invested so much of our time and so much of ourselves into this team, and to see what happens later on down the road, I mean, that's got to be really hard on any fan. I think before the Monday night game, they said that the Monday night game was the first time in Ravens history that a game wasn't played with Ogden, Lewis, Suggs, or Flacco, none of them in any sort of game. So it was the Ravens are in new waters. They're treading new waters here. This is something they've never done before. And if they can chalk up a win like they did up against the Browns, I mean, it would show what a strong organization they are. But it's gonna be very rough. Like you said, this is a Seahawks team that is on fire, and this is a very battered, beaten, and most importantly, besides battered and beaten, most unexperienced Ravens team out there.
Exactly. I mean, inexperienced at best. I mean, you really don't have any veterans out there, and that's what sucks is there's no vocal leader. I mean, you pretty much have Jimmy Smith, and I can think of, because if Doomerville doesn't play, I don't know what's up with that, but and some of these leaders, other than our ball coach and right in the ship here, you don't really have any on-field leaders. So it's going to be interesting to see who takes over, because they're almost the one calling plays down there in Doomerville. So it's definitely interesting to see. Don't know how it's going to play out, but I'm excited to see how it does. But it's the nature of the beast, man. We try going. I mean, people get hurt. People, miss practice. So we're definitely looking to just, hey, putting our best foot forward and just throwing the guys out there and say, play. Got four games left. Let's finish strong. And you're going to keep hearing me say this until we run out of gas. I don't think we will. We have four games left. But this team is finishing strong. And if we can carry that hope into 2016 and get everybody in full recovery. And I did hear that, speaking of full recovery, Joe Flacco under surgery, great. They're expecting a full recovery. Going to be rehabbing in the next 2 weeks. 6-9 months is the rehab time. Let's see what happens. I really hope Joe's knee heals well. He's back 100% and throwing touchdowns for us in no time.
So 6 to 9 months. So that's looking like, what, July would be the earliest we could see him back on the field, at least maybe practicing a little bit?
I think what's going to happen with that, too, I'm looking forward to next year, not to overlook the last month of football here, but what might happen is, worst case scenario, he might miss the first four games of the year, might not come back to October. Who knows? We won't know that till we cover everything well into next year, after the draft, into the mini camps and training camps next year. Before I know it's going to be here, hate to say that, but I mean, we're already 2 weeks away from Christmas. We're recording this 2 weeks away from Christmas Eve. I mean, it's just coming quick, dude. So, before you know it, we'll find out soon enough and then see if Smith comes back and see how we do and if we can get our pieces back. I think with the way things stack up, we can make it a run at it next year again, man. We're not down and out. It just sucks that this year we have to be enduring what we do. But even when I was talking to Dolphins fans this week, and they're like, you guys have been sneak bit. You guys have been in the game, and we expect to fight. And even so, we lost by two. I mean, we were right there. We weren't letting them have the game. You know, we were down 15-0. We could have just said, you guys win. We don't care. We're just here to have fun, and we're in Miami. No, they came back, and they shot them down. Like I told you, Tannehill only passed for less than 100 yards. The defense clamped down and said, you know what? I don't care. Where they went rickshaw over the Texans defense, who are pretty solid. So it is what it is. And I really can't wait to see how it all plays out. And we had the game moved to 1 o'clock. So it was 1 o'clock on Fox. But it kicked off festivities. I'm not sure if you knew this, and switching gears. Do you know about the special event that's happening at the stadium this weekend, man?
All I know, I heard that OAR will be performing.
Yes, I'm pretty excited about that. And so is my Philly buddy here, and he's definitely he was tweeting us and texting us on Wednesday, like, what time are we going tailgating? What time are we going tailgating? Because the OAR's playing it. Like one guy that heads up our tailgating is like, I don't know who they are, and we were busting him. But no, they're playing apparently. I don't know where the I still have to find out where the pregame concert is, but they're apparently playing a pregame concert and at halftime, I think on the field for in front of us. So for all those going to the game, we're getting a special treat with a double dip concert here. So this is a first.
Yeah, yeah, and the coolest thing, besides it just being like a concert, the weather in Baltimore is supposed to be friggin' amazing this weekend. It's supposed to be close to 70 degrees. That is not December Baltimore football weather, I would think.
No. Well, and you figure that now the game's playing at 1 o'clock instead of 8:30, and it's funny because, like, I was at work today. I wore, like, a thermal, like, shirt to work, and I'm like, by lunchtime, I had the sunroof and the windows down, and I was sweating. I'm like, I love it. I was like, see, I did bring Miami up here.
And you know what? For everybody else out there, today for dinner, I had Maryland crabs, blue crabs.
Yeah.
Steam crabs.
You texted me a picture of it. It was very teasing.
Yeah, I love teasing people with it. You know, I got Christmas songs playing in the background. I got a Yule log on the TV, and I'm eating crabs, which is a summer thing because there's a very famous song for Baltimore people out there called Crabs for Christmas. And it's about
play that like we always do this year.
Yeah, and it's about, you know, this guy missing crabs and they're out of season, and the Santa says you can have scrod. But here we are, mid-December, and I'm having crabs for Christmas. It was crazy, but crazy weather we've been having. Doesn't feel like Baltimore in December. I mean,
no, I love it.
I haven't even brought out my winter coat yet, which is nuts. And you know, we were talking about it on Tuesday. That was 2 years since the game that we saw in the snow. It was just crazy climate change we got going on. But
you never know, man. I mean, this is how the weather is here. I mean, it could be. You know how it is. It could be midweek 70 degrees, and by Sunday they're calling for 3 inches of snow, and that's winter here. But I'm definitely excited because not only that, but we're in the last month and the year in the last week here, and you know how it is in Baltimore. So it's like, hey, if every day goes by that it's not cold and rainy and sleeting and snowing, keep it up because it means it's that much closer to spring. So if it holds off snow until January and February, I'm fine with that. And it's always been like that. We never get bad winters here until the turn of the new year. So I'm definitely excited to see how that plays out for us down here.
Yeah, who would have ever thought we would talk about Maryland weather meteorology on the call instead of Ravens football in December?
Well, that's what happens, man. I mean, when you pretty much are, you know, there's no playoff excitement. There's no Festivus Maximus in Baltimore. It sucks, and you can't get excited for a playoff run as we normally do around here where – I mean, it adds to the Christmas spirit here because they're about the playoffs and we're getting ready for our playoff plans in January and, you know, and it just, it loses its luster. But then here's the thing. It makes you appreciate it that much more because when we do get back to the playoffs, it's that much sweeter because it's good to be there. Right? I mean, every year I love it when we're in the mix and we're in the final eight, final four of the NFL and then run for a title. But it is nice to... Now, I wouldn't say nice of what we're going through this year, but I'm just saying it is nice to really appreciate taking a step back and showing that, hey, yeah, we might have one of our first losing seasons under Harbaugh because the 1 year we went 8-8. But, you know, with that being said, it's, you know, we're one loss away from that happening at a 7-9, you know, or 6-10 record. But being at all, we know we've been in every game and we can be on the positive side of things. So there's definitely a lot of positives, even though there's a lot more negatives this year. And it kind of just weighs the scales evenly here, and it can just go either way. So I wouldn't be surprised if we finished 7-9 or 8-8, really finished strong here.
Yeah, you know, there may not be playoffs or whatever, but there is still a game on Sunday, so there is at least something to get excited about, something to watch on TV, and hopefully, whether it's a loss or if it's a win, it's experience for a lot of these players that are rookies that are getting, you know, shoved right into the starting lineup. Maybe they weren't expecting it this year, but it's good experience for them, and who knows, maybe next year that'll really help them out in the long run. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. The Seahawks, that's going to be a very rough game to watch. There, like you said, the Seahawks are kind of on fire right now. Go ahead.
Seahawks are on fire, and like you said, they're playing great football. So it's kind of like if we can mirror what they do,
right,
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and it, this might be a really a good game to see what the Ravens can do, since we already have a record of so many close games this year, within like 8 points or whatever every single game. If they can stick with the Seahawks, I mean, I would consider that at least somewhat of a win for the Ravens, if they can stick that close to a team that's doing so well with so many young guys and so many replacement players. If you can stick to the Seahawks and it's not a blowout or something, that might even be a little bit of a silver lining, I guess.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree with you more on that.
All right, man. Well, this seems like it might be a little shorter of a show than normal, but have we covered everything?
Actually, we didn't, believe it or not.
Uh-oh.
Wow, we didn't. I threw you a curveball. But you're right. I mean, apart from, you know, when we don't really like to look at lengths of shows. I mean, we do what we do. We talk the talk, we walk the walk. But with the games now, I mean, it's just pretty much getting together. I mean, we'll definitely break down the game plan on the game day podcast, but it's like, really, it just seems like it just takes care of itself, because it is what it is. It's cut and dry. We have 19 starters out. Half the guys were just trying to learn their names week to week, and it's just pretty much now we just got scraped together, and the game plan is the same every week, man. It's original. It's, hey, we just need to fight for a win and hold our own. But the reason why we didn't cover everything is they were calling the tickets every week. They do the special player of the game, and they've been doing it every week, where Reed was the one, and then Ray was there. They've had Ogden in here.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but did you get one of those Reed coins a couple weeks ago?
Yes, I did.
Did you really? Okay. Are they cool? What's it look like?
Yeah, I've actually, believe it or not, I don't know where I put it, so I gotta find it. But, no, it's pretty cool. It's like a little commemorative coin. I kept it in a case. But when I find it, I will take a picture of it. So it's a pretty cool coin, man. And I'm surprised they've only done that for Reed, but hopefully they start doing it for everybody else.
Okay, cool. All right, go on. Go on with the rest of your story. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. It's all okay, man. And, well, what's very intriguing about this one, because Todd Heath's on the ticket for the Seahawks game. So I'm expecting him to be the legend of the game. They usually, like Ray was, you know, and Reed. Well, Reed was inducted to the Ring of Honor. That was a different thing, but... And then they have Bullware on the one game, but what I'm very intrigued is because Heath was already inducted to the last one, so it's like he was there. So I mean, it's just kind of like, I just love seeing all the old players. So Heath should be there this weekend. So like, speaking of our depleted tight ends, at least Heath's going to be there to give us some hope, and I can't wait to shout Heath coming out the tunnel, hopefully last, and. We got 3 home games to go, man. Here's the stretch run.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, Todd Heap can give those guys a little pep talk like Ray Lewis or Ed Reed did, to maybe give them a little bit more of a little push towards playing a good game.
Absolutely, man.
All right, man. So, did we cover everything at that now?
We covered this one. For the Ravens Hawks to the max, my friend.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation, you know where to reach Josh or I. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52. And if you ever want to tweet to, ask what I want for Christmas, please feel free.
Josh has got his Amazon wish list. He'll send that to you.
My empty right now. 2 weeks to go. Let's go, people. Let's go.
All right, very cool. If you go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever a new episode of any podcast we do comes out, you'll be the first to know. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Josh is always putting out really cool news articles and photos and videos and all that kind of cool stuff over on Facebook. What else do I have to tell you? Oh, yeah, we got plenty of places you can check out. We're on Snapchat now. Check us out on Snapchat. I have no idea how to tell you to go to it, but it's The Call Podcast.
I'll figure that out this weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, The Call Podcast is where we are on Snapchat, so go follow us and like us over there. You guys are social on the web, and all we ask in return for you guys, we don't want your money, we don't want anything like that. All we want is you guys to please spread the word about The Call. Let people know about The Call. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and anywhere else else you are social on the web. That is all we ask in return. Maybe you write us an iTunes review and help us out, get a little bit more recognized by the iTunes world. Our numbers have gone up this year, and I just want to say it's probably because of all your guys' hard work helping us out, spreading the word about the call. So that's pretty much it for the Purple Friday preview. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, my friend. And here we go, Purple Friday. We have a few left in the year. Let's enjoy the festivities of Purple Friday and what the weekend has to offer, because here we are, Ravens, Hawks, the way we always know football. And it could be the two-time defending Super Bowl champions if it wasn't for a blunder playing rear and how that played out. But it's still the Seahawks. It's still going to be fun to watch. Can't wait to get it started. OAR is going to be rocking the house. The Ravens are even going to be rocking the courts. We're going to shoot for that win. Let's fly high into Sunday game day.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.